Welcome to 100% Fresh with Two Chef Mission, where we bring a chef's perspective to the table that you can take to go. With over 10 years of professional kitchen experience each, we offer our insight on all things food for you each week. Our mission is to get you in the kitchen and cooking at home. Let's turn up the heat.
Welcome back to 100% Fresh with Two Chef Mission. Today we are talking about conscious kitchen and what that means to us, me and Melissa, and we're really excited to be able to bring on a really close friend and colleague. Her name is Allie. She's just an amazing person all around. She has so much experience in the kitchen as well as having a degree. You know, she's just a really great person.
A certificate, except for.
Except for, did you say conscious or did you say cautious?
No, I said conscious.
Exactly.
I said conscious kitchen. Today is about conscious kitchen.
By the way, we've all known each other for about, 6 years now?
Yeah, almost? Yeah. It's been about that, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is normal.
It's been an interesting ride for sure.
It all started in a castle.
Oh, yeah. Cinderella's castle.
But
we digress.
Now I can't even.
I thought you were going to say conscious Christmas, and I said no.
Well, you know.
It's not July yet. It's not December.
It's good to be conscious at Christmas, because you eat.
Is it, though?
You eat there, too.
Is it? Have you met my family?
Not in person.
Well, wait till July.
We met Jen.
Oh, yeah, Jen.
Hello, Jen.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Better be back.
Well, so one of the big things that we like to focus here with at Two Chef Mission is having a healthy living simplified. Mm-hmm. And one of the big steps to doing that is being conscious in your kitchen. It's not like, cautious.
You like
it's
conscious. Cost.
Yeah, I had to.
You gotta think it every time.
Every time.
So I think starting there, what does a conscious kitchen, you passed it to me, mean to us?
I mean, you know, after knowing you guys for so long and living here for, it's been almost, a year and a half, almost 2 years? It's been over a year since we started cohabitating together.
Something like that.
Yeah. And
cohabitating.
That's a nice way of putting it. I think that's just, it really means that you are aware of the products that you are buying and how much you're actually getting out of it, you know, how much bang for your buck. Like, we save the vegetable scraps and put them in Ziploc bags in the freezer because that makes vegetable stock. That's one less thing you have to go out to the grocery store and buy.
And you also get to control what's going into it.
Exactly.
So,
right. Yeah, because it could even depend on what vegetable or produce that you have. You can actually even utilize it in another way by replanting it and growing it in your own home, backyard, yourself.
Yeah, because now that we've done that with the green onions, I mean, you guys, we've gotten, two clippings worth of green onions out of them by now?
Yeah, because one of the great things about green onions, for anyone who wants a quick food tip, we'll just add that in there. If you buy a bunch of green onions and use the green part and save the white bottoms and you put them in a glass of water, the roots will start growing and then you can plant them and then they grow back and you get to use them forever.
And they actually grow back really quickly.
Really quick.
Yeah, they,
because they grow back within, you know, a couple days and you actually almost have a full stock to be able to use again that you can get a nice clip off of.
And I will say that we usually have them in a very partial sunlight lit
area and
what is that called? Windowsill.
Yeah.
Sunlit, very partial windowsill. And they grow very quickly. So sun might be a little harsh. But we live in Florida. So that is also part of it.
By the way, if anybody ever hears any distant jingling, Please don't pay it any mind.
It's just the cats.
It's just the cats and sometimes the dogs and
walking around, maybe, you know, doing some movements.
It's a full house.
Maybe but a not whiny the, maybe a whiny child.
It's a full house, but not the fun Michelle Tanner
right
kind. We still have fun, it's just not that kind of full house.
Right.
Yeah. But I think for me, you hit it pretty spot on where it's like being aware of what's, for my thought, is going into your kitchen, being created, and then what you're then putting into your body.
Right. And so I would say for me, you know, it's definitely being aware of what's going into your kitchen, but it's also being aware of what's around your kitchen and mm-hmm. how you're best utilizing it. You know, for us here in our own home, we have a really small kitchen, and, you know, most people would think, oh, well, you know, they're a chef, they're going to want these really big, elaborate kitchens with nice islands and this and all the fixings.
I mean, that is nice.
It's great. It'd be fun. It'd be fantastic to have that, but, you know, we have to work with what we have, and our kitchen is maybe an 8x10, you know, space where we've had to figure out and really niche it down to how to utilize all the space as best as possible. And I feel if you're aware of what your kitchen is set up and how mm-hmm. it's able to work for you effectively, I think that makes all the difference, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this kitchen now is a little bit bigger than thank you that's Athena, she groans a lot,
sometimes snores,
yep, but just this kitchen's a little bit bigger than the one I had in the apartment before I moved in here.
Yeah.
And that didn't faze me because usually I was the only one
mm-hmm. right
in the kitchen really mm-hmm. cooking all the time.
Though also we've very much grown accustomed to making our kitchen space work for us, having worked on the line
professional
kitchens. So
even working together, that was a small,
mm-hmm.
small,
very
line.
Small kitchen.
Oh yeah.
So
I wonder if that's something that people aren't aware of, how small
kitchen
can
spaces
be.
Can be. Yes.
You better be prepared for someone to accidentally rub up against you. Or touching another person's body part, because it's going to happen.
Yeah,
yeah. You can get pretty close and personal with people really quickly in a kitchen. You don't expect it.
You make fast friends.
You do. That's the best way to put it. You make fast friends.
But I tell you what, I'd rather rub my butt against somebody else's butt than my front against somebody else's butt.
Right.
Too close. That's too friendly.
Oh my gosh.
That's too friendly.
Yeah, but I agree. Being able to be aware of how to utilize a kitchen space. And that's something that we've really worked on being able to help clients with.
Right.
And I think pretty soon, if you follow us on Facebook, that's something that we have in the works for a video to be able to show how we best utilize a small space for our kitchen.
Right, and it's one of those things that once you really see how to utilize a smaller space and you start thinking about it in your own kitchen, you know, we've worked with clients that have had bigger kitchens than ours, and when we're walking around and they're like, you know, they're letting us know where they have things, you know, we're kind of, our gears are turning, like, how could we help them make this easier
mm-hmm.
to work with, make it more streamlined.
And flow better.
And flow so much better, because there's a lot of times where it's, they don't necessarily think the way that a chef would, or somebody who's mm-hmm. worked in kitchens would. And it's, you know, it's really surprising when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought about this too. I think a conscious kitchen also should be put, you know, in terms of being conscious of what's around you, who's behind you, what they might be carrying in their hand. I mean, if you think about it, even in this kitchen, we still say,
oh, yeah.
hey, knife behind you, right behind.
Mm-hmm. And that is going to be one of our topics coming up, is knife safety, or just safety in the kitchen.
The number of times I've had to yell, not yell, but catch trainees, mm-hmm. and be like, hey,
oh yeah,
don't put that knife there. Don't hold it like that. The worst I had was, he wasn't a trainee. We had worked together for a little while, but he was, you know, not in the industry as long as we've been. And he walked around the kitchen with the knife in his hand. And I tell you what, I stopped that from happening anymore.
Yeah.
Because that's a really, really quick way to injure yourself or somebody else. Mm-hmm. And right. We don't want that.
No, absolutely not.
Especially in a space where it's already so easy enough to burn yourself.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we've seen it even working at home with close friends, you know, preparing just regular meals. You know, it just happens.
Accidents happen.
I only laugh because I know exactly what incident we're speaking of. Everything was okay, but even I still burn myself occasionally. We're just a little more used to it than others who are not in this line of work.
Right, right. Mm.
So, it's a tolerance.
Yeah. Now, speaking about Two Chef Mission, what would we say that for us as our own business is our look and outlook on it. I know, I was like, outtake? We're not. What?
Blooper.
Cut. Of a conscious kitchen.
You know, just thinking about it as Two Chef Mission standpoint on it, I mean, there's just a lot that can be said and touched about it. I would say that a conscious kitchen for Two Chef Mission, in my opinion, is where you can be responsive of what's happening in your surroundings and not do it in a way of panic, but just do it in a way of calm and being serene about what's happening and not necessarily escalating to a place where an accident can happen.
Okay. Because I know that one of the big reasons why we introduced Two Chef Mission meal plans is to offer a simple way to get home-cooked meals on the table for families where mom brain happens. And you're like, what you were going to say? Gone.
Let's put it this way. Instead of eating out all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's being consciously aware of, you know, eating out 80 to 90% of the time. One, that's going to bring my budget way up.
Yeah, you're going to burn through your budget.
But also, a lot of those meals are very calorie packed and not always the most nutrient dense.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. So, and what we try to focus on is having recipes with nutrient dense ingredients. Of course, there's going to be ones that are your fun recipes where they're not all perfectly 100% super duper healthy, but right. They're better for you in the sense that, one, you're picking out your ingredients and you're putting them together and cooking them at home and deciding how much of this you're putting or how much of that, and making it much more controlled and aware of what you're doing. And one of the things when we were talking about utilizing all of the ingredients is that we try to pair together recipes. So if in the meal plans, we kind of separate it at create your own as well as made for you menus. And the made for you menus are ones that we put together because they utilize similar ingredients, so that if you're buying a head of cabbage, you're not just using it in one recipe, you might be using it in two or three so that you use the whole thing.
Right.
I think the last head of cabbage that we bought, we used that for what, three different things?
Yeah, about three different recipes that we ended up making. Obviously, those recipes are going to be seen on our Two Chef Mission meal plans. So if you are looking for new recipes, new ideas, make sure you check that out at our website, twochefmission.com. Other than that, you know, you'll see some really cool things that we've done in the past, either utilizing, you know, like, let's say chicken across three or four meals, mm-hmm. and you're not having to go out and extend your budget to be able to buy, you know, pounds and pounds and pounds of chicken. You're only buying the one set.
Unless you have, like, you know, family of 10.
I mean, if you're rocking a big family, then, you know, then at the end of the day, it's inevitable.
You can only change things so much, right. But...
Even in this household, mm-hmm. we're what? Four adults.
One child.
But I believe myself mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. our other roommate, I mean, I can't speak for her, but I know I can speak for myself that portion sizes with meals have certainly gone down for me, especially when it comes to protein.
Right.
Because, I mean, I noted that they weren't as big as the chicken breasts we sometimes usually get, but I would still eat two of them.
Yeah.
I would eat two chicken thighs. I would make four chicken thighs for two people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I mean, that's actually a really good point right there, bringing up portion sizes, mm-hmm. is that also feeds into being in a conscious kitchen, just, mm-hmm. you know, understanding what, I guess, would be the recommended mm-hmm. amount of food, yeah. as opposed to over-portioning. I actually read an article, it wasn't an article, it was more so like an infographic picture that I saw, and it was saying that restaurants
mm-hmm.
typically give you, I believe it was 200% more.
Yeah, it's about
according to your serving size, yeah. especially when it comes to pastas.
2 to 2.5 mm-hmm. servings more and stuff, especially pastas, because pastas are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can fill that up,
then you
put a little bit of protein, maybe like
4 ounces.
Or even 2 to 3 ounces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of the pasta, there's so much of that you don't notice necessarily.
Exactly.
So that's where your super high calorie comes in.
Right.
And that's why one of the big things that we try to work on within like clients and on our recipes that are on our site is doing a well-balanced meal portion-wise.
Exactly. And I tell you what, even just living with you guys, it really I notice it.
Yeah.
I definitely, definitely notice it because my stomach can't tolerate mm-hmm. me overeating like I used to do.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, like I've said to you guys before, I go back to my parents' house and I have a plate full like I used to, and I end up feeling uncomfortable afterwards,
right.
because I'm stepping back into old habits mm-hmm. that are familiar, and it just
mm-hmm.
hurts my stomach, and I pay for it later.
I was going to say, to be fair on that part, a lot of overeating, our stomachs can expand. So you're stretching your stomach, and therefore it's feeling empty, as well as if you're eating things that aren't nutrient dense, they don't keep you full. So you're like, oh, eat more. And then when you're like, no, I need to look at my portions and I need to take care of this and I need to focus on it. And then your body adjusts, it goes back to what it was. And then that's where you're at. You've adjusted, and then you know, that's where it becomes a lifestyle change, is where you are consistent with it and keep up.
And, you know, on that note, I can even really say that I felt a difference understanding how I used to eat in the past. Melissa and I really have worked on my eating habits in, you know, God, it's what, the past 6 years, almost 7 years that we've known each other. And with that, It's really shown me what it is to actually eat a healthy portion size as opposed to overeating and then continuing to overeat and overeat for every meal of the day.
And I can say this, and you guys, I think, for the most part, will agree with me. A lot of people that work in the culinary industry, we eat terrible at home. A lot of us do.
You know, that's it. It is I think on some level, it's kind of a stigma, though.
Really?
Because we're all told that. So, like, when I went to culinary school, for instance, they were like, oh, you know, freshman 15, but it's actually, like, culinary 30 sort of thing, right? Like, it's double that. And for me, I was like, no, I'm going in extra small uniforms, and I'm coming out in extra small uniforms. Forget that. Mm-mm. It's not happening. But it's also that, right, like, focus and kind of, like, willpower of, like, no, you're not going to control me. Like, and so the thing is, and there's a really great book, and I believe it's called Smart Chef Stay Slim.
Is that and the one I almost started reading?
Yes. You should read it.
Well, we put it back on the bookshelf.
I'm just saying.
Safe from
I'm just saying. But it's stories about, one, there's chefs who are like, they stay healthy, and that's a very big focus. And then there's other ones that weren't healthy, had a life-changing thing happen, and it's like, whoa, I gotta do something. So that's where I think, and actually I believe we started watching something on Netflix that was talking about the stigma of healthiness in working in the culinary industry, because we have this whole idea, getting on a tangent a little bit, but another thing that, halfway through my tangent, right, is one of the things that I was told in culinary school was, like, never trust a skinny chef. And I was like, yo, why? That means I take care of myself.
Right.
That should be a good thing.
It's funny because
if I'm taking care of myself, I'm taking care of you, right?
Yeah.
So that's how it really should be. So that's where, like, for me, Conscious Kitchen, I really want to change that stigma, and really be able to help everyone, because of course people in the culinary industry, but also anyone, how to be more consciously aware of what is in your kitchen and what you're eating.
Exactly. And funny thing that you're saying, that, you know, never trust a skinny chef. I actually have a friend of mine that I used to work with in one of the other Disney restaurants, and he just posted on his Facebook story not too long ago. And he was shirtless, he was sitting in a jacuzzi, you know, enjoying it. And what his tagline was, never trust a skinny chef. And he was pointing at his stomach because he's put on some weight since I've known him. And that was his whole thing, was never trust a skinny chef. And to me, the first thing that popped into my head was, no, you can trust a skinny chef, because they are clearly taking care of themselves. They know what they're putting in their body.
Well, and their food.
And what they're putting in their food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, honestly, those would be the chefs that I would look forward to. For example, you know, celebrity chef goes. For me, my absolute favorite celebrity chef is Gordon Ramsay. I've always looked up to him since I was young. Like, and he is fit. He takes care of himself. He has done, I'm pretty sure he's done Ironmans and half Ironmans. And there's just so much that you can do to take care of yourself and actually, you know, enjoy great, amazing food. And that is definitely a huge part of being conscious in your kitchen and, you know, taking the effort of being aware of what you are putting into your kitchen, what you're putting into your body, and, you know, just being that overall, having that awareness of what's going on in your kitchen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And speaking as, you know, as someone who is, you know, overweight and has been overweight for a long, long time, being in this industry, it is not easy on your body. Oh, it is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
you get used to it to a point, but it's murder. I mean, after my injury.
Previously, it's murder.
It is. Dang. Though. It really, really hurts after a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because after my injury with the, you know, now I have the two herniated discs, there are mm-hmm. some days where I.
Mm-hmm. Or just off your game.
I'm off my game. I don't want to move. I'm so tired because I mm-hmm. hurt. And my work location now, I'm up and downstairs all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because our venue is.
Though, I mean, upstairs. Right now, well, I guess you are up and downstairs now, because, you know, that right now, it's only 3 stairs now, you know,
as opposed pandemics. To, you know, 12.
As opposed to 2 flights, yeah. really. Yeah.
But it is very difficult, because kitchens are hot,
mm-hmm.
they're loud,
yeah.
there's hot things, you yeah. know,
sharp but objects. Also,
like, you gotta bend at weird I will angles say, sometimes.
I will say, though, they, like, are exciting. In the sense, like, there's something about them that the craziness and the chaos is awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. I love being in a kitchen, being surrounded by all the heat. And, you know, yeah. there was a big chunk of time where I took, you know, focusing on Two Chef Mission, and even still now continuing to focus on Two Chef Mission. I accepted a small role to go back into a kitchen. And, you know, being in that kitchen environment, seeing and feeling the heat from the grill, the flat top, you know, smelling the fryer, everything that was going on, and, you know, having that fast-paced dinner rush, and everything is happening mm-hmm. so fast, and you've got to be on top of it, moving, it's exhilarating. And mm-hmm. it really reminded me of how much I really do have a passion for this industry. And being able to, you know, provide these delicious meals that especially, mm-hmm. you know, me and Melissa have done for, you know, the past few years with our own business. And even being able to bring aboard a friend like Allie to be able to enjoy doing these great meals.
Or podcasts now.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Or podcasts. Anything creative.
I seem to have been the guinea pig for everything. And I mean, I wouldn't endorse it unless I believed in it. Let's be real. Like, you know, yeah. if I didn't believe in what you guys were doing in the business when you said, hey, let's do a podcast, I would have been like,
are you sure?
Yeah, I would have been like, no, thank you. But I'll just continue to suck off your water and energy supply, but you do you.
Oh my goodness.
But it's true though. I'm not gonna push and endorse a service or a product or a way of life
mm-hmm.
that I don't
see as a benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing your lifestyle is not always the easiest. At all.
No.
And I know you and I would, Tony.
I would say the hardest step is, well, I would say
There's a few hard steps.
There's quite a few hard steps, yeah. but I think one of the biggest one is actually deciding it's time.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many times it's like, oh, it's time, but you're not really there yet. And so it's getting to that point of like, yes, it's gonna change and it's time. But then, secondarily with that, it would be consistency.
Yes.
Because yeah. a lot of times, like, in order to make something a habit, you need to do it for at least 30 days.
Yeah. And
For us, I think we really focus more towards 60 to 90 days, because then it's really deep ingrained there.
Yeah, because then at that point, you know, you're so accustomed to doing it, you're so accustomed to
second nature
to mm-hmm. to making those decisions. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. It's second nature. And, you know, by the end of those 60 or 90 day period, like mm-hmm. however long you want to focus on making this into a habit, by the end of it, it feels off not to do it, mm-hmm. not to think that way or move yeah. the way that you want to move. And
yeah.
It's a huge benefit for life.
Yeah, for instance, us, like, something that for our business we've really focused on the last 30 days was we need to be consistent on our social media. And so getting, like, up to the point at, like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 and being like, oh my gosh, we haven't posted yet. And then it's, you know, back 30 days ago, it would have been, oh, we'll just, it's okay, we'll just do it tomorrow. But now it's like, no, we need to do it. We already have a schedule of what we're posting. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
So it's so much more of a norm. Whereas when we get to 60 to 90 days, it'll be like, whoa, second nature. No, of course we're going to do it.
Right. So maybe also consciousness in the kitchen should also account for knowing where your limits are. Mm-hmm. And knowing when to stop and take a break. Because I'm bad at that. You're sometimes bad at that.
Like, in the kitchen.
I mean, I think a lot of tools...
I mean, I think...
In the kitchen, like, the term conscious kitchen just can also be used as being conscious of...
In your life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because everyone has a, you know, a burnout stage. So it's that zone of, like, when you feel it coming, you know.
Yeah.
Go to the beach.
That's what we did, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great day. Loved it.
Needed that.
Always fun, but break. I'm still dealing with the sunburn after effects. But that is my own
sunscreen
choice.
SPF higher than 15.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, don't live in a subtropical area after you're used to growing up in an area where the sun is not as strong. And think you will be okay with very low SPF sunblock because you, quote-unquote,
want to tan.
Yeah, don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bad idea. My forehead is hurty and red and raw.
On an upside, we have aloe vera.
That is also true. Conscious kitchen, being conscious of the plants you have around your house.
Well, not even the plants, but the fact that we knew, as culinarians, we get burns. What helps burns? Aloe.
Yep.
Unless you believe some people with their stigmas of put mustard on it, put that...
You know...
I don't know how that even is a thing.
I don't know either.
You know...
I just know aloe vera is what we use. It's fantastic. If you can get a plant... And have it planted just outside your front door or just in your backyard. You know, it's a perfect little plant to have. Super versatile and just super, super helpful.
Apparently it's one of those plants you can regrow if you cut a piece. I want to try it. I haven't.
Right.
So if we try, we'll let you know.
I mean, it's also a pretty drought-resistant plant. I mean, it's originally a desert succulent, I guess, if you would call it that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unlike cactus. No water for a little while, it'll usually be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't really water it.
Yeah, no,
it's just the Florida weather.
Just hangs out.
Yeah, every once in a while we water it, but other than that.
Now that we've talked a lot more about Conscious Kitchen, what would be your tips on for someone who wanted to implement it or introduce it into their life? Of course, thinking in the sense of, like, let's start from zero, right? So, baby steps.
So, I mean, if we're really starting from zero and, you know, we're taking those baby steps to be more conscious in the kitchen, you know, to be aware of what's happening, what you're bringing into your kitchen. One of my real big ideas for it is to organize your kitchen make it the best and most simple way to be able to manage around it and actually work in it to make it, you know, as, you know, efficient as possible. At the end of the day, you know, the better it's organized, the more efficient your kitchen runs, the more safe and the easier it is to be conscious in your kitchen, understanding what's happening. I don't know if you want to go ahead and comment on that.
I mean, I think that's definitely a step to go, because if you're finding out that your kitchen, that, like, your flow in your kitchen frustrates the crap out of you, that's definitely a useful one step to get. You know, maybe that's the one thing that's like, okay, I've got my stuff organized. It's a bit easier for me to take the next step of, you know, let me cook dinner. For me, I think it's, I mean, I like that idea, but I also think it's kind of take a really deep look at what you're doing right now, in the sense of, you know, what are the areas that you need to grow, or if it's that you look and it's like, oh, you know what, I actually already follow a lot of these things, and I am pretty consciously aware, in the sense of, you know, what do your portions look like?
Right.
What does your plate look like? Do you have vegetables and a little bit of grains and a little bit, you know, you've got your proteins and everything. Is it balanced? And then as well as, you know, are you able to cook at home? Are you eating out all the time? Are you over budget? And kind of digging deeper on that level to see, you know, what is the area that needs to change? And then start with one of them and pick whichever one you think is the easiest one and start there.
Right. And that makes sense.
And even if that's just, you know what, I have a lot of processed foods in my house. I'm not going to buy the bag of chips that I don't need to eat because, one, I eat too many of them, and then it makes my tummy hurt. That's me.
Oh, okay. I was looking at our pantry actually right now.
Well, those are tortilla chips. For me, it's like,
you know, there's a few bags of tortilla chips there, but you're right.
The tortilla chips I can do because they are not as heavy or greasy and stuff. Yeah. Whereas the greasy chips is what I'm talking about. You know, it's and it's taking out that, what is it called? Not your impulse buys, but your,
I don't know what word you're looking for.
Where you can't just have a little bit, where it's like,
impulse control?
I guess, where it's, you know, the things that you're like, I can't just have one.
Oh, yeah, so, there was a commercial on that, on one of the chip companies. I can't remember which one exactly, but it's like, have one.
Yeah, it's Pringles.
No, but,
oh, is
but
it?
Once you pop, well, you just can't stop or whatever.
Once you pop, the fun don't stop, something like that.
But then there's also, I think, is it Over the Hedge or something? There's a movie that it does that too. But anyways, the point is like, if you know that something is your weakness, and for me, I mean, there's probably a few, well, ice cream I eat, but you know, it's not like a crazy thing.
Chips, but it also doesn't hurt your stomach going like that.
Right, exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you have something in your house that you're like, I'll eat all of it, then maybe that's your thing. And it's like, maybe limit that. Now, that could be a much harder task. So it might be easier to just kind of look at, do I have too much of this in my house or too much of that, and figure out there. But anyways, take one thing on your list and work on that.
Right, right. Both of those points are really, really, really good points of being conscious in the kitchen. And I agree, staying on budget. Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Not spending all your money on a bunch of, for better lack of the word, crap.
Junk.
Yes.
The junk
food buys.
Yes, we
spent $100 and something on groceries the other day, and majority of that was
so much veggies.
Was fruits and veggies, mm-hmm, and
yeah,
mainly dairy products. Nothing too,
Nothing
too overprocessed.
Now, a lot of people, there's also a stigma that eating healthier or getting more fruits and veggies is too expensive. And I'm doing quotations right now of the too expensive. As people who, you know, we live on a budget just like other people do, and we buy vegetables the most. Fruits and veggies, and one of the easiest ways that you can save on that is figuring out what is in season and shopping that way. Because what's in season is what's the freshest. They don't have to do a lot to, it's not as expensive for them to produce and
better.
Send out. It tastes better. It tastes delicious. And it's less expensive because of that. So eating fresh seasonal ingredients, as well as, if you can, shop local, because it's just great to support local.
Yeah, absolutely.
An easy way to do that, just go on Google, type in local farms, in my area.
Or farmers markets.
Or farmers mm-hmm. markets in my area. And, you know, take a look around and see which ones that are specifically, like, bannered from local farms in your area or mm-hmm. just around outside your area. You know, here in Central Florida, we really do have some local farms that, for a long time, I didn't even know that they were there. And it wasn't until, you know, more recently where we actually started going to farmers markets and taking these mental notes of, like, what's out there.
Right.
And actually looking into it on Google to see, oh, shoot, there's a farm less than a half an hour away from where we are. There's a farm a couple hours away from where we are, and they do, you know, these farmers markets in our area. And the great thing is that each of them may be growing different things that are still in season. So you have a variety of mm-hmm. things to choose from. So it's not just being so niche down into, oh, well, you know, it's the same veggies, the same things over and over again. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's one of my other tips I would say is to just keep a mental note of what's in your pantry, in your kitchen, to be aware of what you're buying and how much you're buying of something that you may not need.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'd say another one of my points is definitely making from scratch what you can.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that comes a lot after, you know, mm-hmm. living with you guys. I don't really buy jarred pre-made sauces
mm-hmm.
anymore because we just make them ourselves.
Because I won't use them.
Yeah, and you won't use them. But you're also more of a texture person. Like when it comes say with the curry sauce. Mm-hmm. You don't like the jarred curry sauce. We've made our own, but you also don't mind the other one. The kit that
mm-hmm.
I introduced you guys, yeah, but that's because I think it doesn't have a lot of icky stuff
in it. I don't know. Gum.
Zip.
To make it
and
congeal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
emulsify.
Yes.
Would be the correct term. But, yeah, I mean, it. And that's where you've kind of become more consciously aware with that, is less of the processed foods and instead making it a process that we do.
Right. That and, you know, if you're worried about staying on budget and how much your produce costs, don't buy things that are already pre-cut or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's going to mm-hmm. be what, maybe an extra couple
Yeah, well, minutes, also,
but it helps on price.
It does help on price, but also as things get cut, they start losing their nutritional value because they start dying.
Exactly. Squeaky table.
Which, I mean, of course, is a topic for another time.
Yes.
But those are some definitely good tips on how to implement a conscious kitchen. Of course, if anyone has some other tips to share, we would love that. As well as if you try out any of these things and see that it's worked really great for you, we'd love for that to be shared as well. And you can do that super easily by either sending us an email through our website at twochefmission.com, or you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Pinterest.
We're on the big ones, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I almost said Snapchat. Tony's, I was like, that's not one of them.
That's not one of them.
At all.
Tony's on LinkedIn, but we're Two Chef Mission on all of those.
Tony's also on Twitch, but that really has nothing to do with it.
No, that's more.
That's a horse of another color, as they would say.
More gaming stuff. But,
definitely reach out to us. Mm-hmm. Let us know what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what ideas you would like to see implemented in other podcasts, or, you know, if you have any questions.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and shoot us a message at, like Melissa said, twochefmission.com or any of our socials at twochefmission.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be more than happy to cover them here in the podcast or shoot you a message back and, you know, just talk it through with you. So, you know, on that note,
yeah.
I think that, you know, we've gotten some really good tips here. We've gotten some really good discussion. And I would say, you know, let's see you guys next time. And mm-hmm. we can't wait for the next podcast for you guys to listen in on.
Thanks for listening. If you loved this podcast, please give us a review. We love being able to offer new content, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy making it. So any support helps, from sharing the podcast to donating on anchor.fm or checking out Two Chef Mission meal plans on our website, twochefmission.com. Until next time, keep it 100% fresh.